Well, friends, let's bow our heads briefly in prayer before we hear God's word this morning. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we do thank thee for that mention of grace in that last hymn, and we pray that grace may be given to us now to preach in thy name and also to hear thy word. And thy word, Lord, may come to us not only outwardly to our ears, to our minds, but also inwardly to our very hearts and our souls, that we might believe the things that we hear this morning, that we may be saved, and that, Lord, there might be an increase of faith in the hearts of thy people. So do grant us all grace, we pray, all sufficient grace, Lord, to see us through, Lord, this meeting and this day. Grant us sufficient grace, we pray. And we do particularly now we think of our brother Brian, O Lord, at home as he is sick. We pray that that be with him so that he might be able to come out tonight in order to lead the service and to preach to us. Be with him at home as he thinks about us and prays for us, and as we pray for him now, and any others who are not able to be out with us this morning. And we ask these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1 and verses 42 to 45. God willing, as we come towards Christmas next month, I want to look at a few passages in this first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, the various poems or songs or prophecies that we have here concerning the birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. So the first one is this one, Luke chapter 1, verses 42 to 45, "And she, Elizabeth, spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me?" How has this happened to me? "That the mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation or your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe," that was John, of course, to be, "leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance or a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Well, dear friends, last Sunday morning we finished looking together at redemption. We'd had a couple of messages on redemption, and we finished looking at that great theme of the Bible by looking at the first part of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, where we read, "In whom, in the Beloved, in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we," Paul saying himself, Ephesian believers, all believers, "have redemption through his blood." And we looked, first of all, at the context of that verse or those words, and secondly, at the content of those words. And we concluded by asking, first of all, whether we understand the context of them, but most importantly, secondly, whether or not we believe the content of those, of that verse, or the beginning of that verse, that we believe that I have redemption through his blood, through the blood of the Beloved, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So we're looking at redemption last Sunday morning. Now this Sunday morning, I want us now to go on to look together at another text, a bit of a longer text, a number of verses. It's in Luke chapter 1, as I say, in verses 42 to 45. And what we're looking at here is what some commentators call, now I don't see anywhere that it's called a poem, I don't see anywhere that it's called a song, or that she sings it, she says it, but some commentators call this Elizabeth's poem or song of love, because she was filled with the Holy Spirit, as we read in the previous verse, and she says this poem, composes, says this poem, or sings this song to Mary in love towards her. There was no jealousy or envy between Elizabeth and Mary, even though Mary was going to, in a way, bear the far greater child. There's no envy at all. They loved one another because they had been loved by God. So I want us to look at this poem or song of love of herds. Before we see how we're going to divide it up this morning, let's just very quickly remind ourselves who Elizabeth was. We should know because there's only one Elizabeth in the whole of the Bible as far as I can see. Her name actually means God is swearer. God is the God of his oath, of his promises and fulfilling his promises. He's the God, God is swearer. Who was Elizabeth? Well, she was the wife of Zacharias, the priest Zacharias. And she was, she was the mother of John the Baptist. And at this time, when she was saying these words to Mary, she was carrying John in her womb. She had not yet been delivered of this child that was going to be the forerunner of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ by about 6 months. So she was the wife of Zacharias, she was the mother of John the Baptist, and she was of a priestly family and a relation of Mary's. She was Mary's cousin, she was the first to greet as the mother of her Lord, which is what she's doing here. Mary has hailed or greeted her, and now Elizabeth is speaking to her in return, in an inspired way, because she's been filled by the Holy Spirit in order to say these very precious and powerful words. So God in the angel Gabriel had come to Mary, told her the child that she was going to have, that she was going to bear the Messiah according to the flesh, and also told her that she was going to, that her cousin Elizabeth, she was with child. And Mary, hearing that after Gabriel's gone, rises up and goes to the hill country of Judah in order to go and visit Elizabeth and greets her. And as soon as Mary comes in, Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit and says these remarkable words to her. So that's the context of what we have here. So that is who Elizabeth was, and her poem, as I say, was the song that she sang when she was the first to greet Mary as the mother of her Lord. So you make up your own mind whether she just said these words, whether it is of a poetic nature, there's no doubt about that, or whether she even sang them to Mary on this occasion. Well, how are we going to divide this up? Well, we need to consider here those about whom Elizabeth sang. And it kind of goes in a bit of a cycle here, because first of all, she sang about Mary in verse 42, and then later on in verse 42, she speaks about the fruit of Mary's womb, so about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ. In verse 43, Elizabeth speaks about herself. In verse 44, it speaks about her child, about John, as he was going to be called. And then finally, we come back to Mary in verse 45. So there's a bit of a pattern here to say this was an inspired poem. This is an inspired song. These are inspired words. And so there's a wonderful order and pattern to them. Mary, her child. Elizabeth, her child. And then back to Mary right at the end. So it's up to us now this morning to look at these individuals that Elizabeth spoke about. First of all, Mary in verse 42. There are seven Marys in the New Testament. Well, we all know which Mary this is, because she was the wife of Joseph, and of course, according to the flesh, according to our Lord Jesus Christ, human nature, she was his mother. She's not someone that we want to deify, as perhaps the Roman Catholics do, as no doubt they do, but there again, she's also somebody, as we're going to see, we do not want to denigrate. She was a very spiritual and a very special lady. Of course she was. That is why God chose her to bear his own son into this world, in, as I say, according to the flesh. So what does Elizabeth say to Mary? Well, she says to her, but what she was, or the tense here rather, is what Mary had become. And indeed what Mary continued to be, what she was going to continue to be in the future. And of course, not only because she was going to bear the Saviour into this world, but also because she was a believer. She was a believer in God, and she was a believer in his salvation, in him, and in his promises concerning the Messiah, concerning the Christ for his people. So what has she become? What was she going to continue to be? Well, it's a familiar word to us, isn't it? We have it in the Old Testament scriptures and in the New concerning believers, that she was blessed. And this here means that Mary, it was more than her just feeling happy. What she was, is what she actually was. It means that already, even then, right at that moment, she had God's or heaven's favor resting upon her. So it wasn't just kind of a feeling of happiness one minute and not the next. This was God's kind of settled favor resting upon her. It was her Lord delighting in her. It was that she was happy indeed, or well off in the sight of heaven, in the sight of God, and by the standards of God's kingdom and the standards of the kingdom of heaven. It means here that she was happy in the most exalted sense of the term. So Elizabeth was saying, just like the psalmist said, "Oh, Mary, you are so blessed. You're so wonderfully and remarkably blessed in the most exalted sense of that term." It means that she was superlatively blessed, greatly blessed, and blessed forever. I noticed on the bookshelves of W.H. Smith's a little while ago, George Best's autobiography or his biography. You know what that was called? That was called Blessed. Sadly, when you look at someone like that's life, I hardly think that, although he was blessed in many ways by God, his talent and the things that perhaps he had, God loaded common mercies upon him. But I think by the way that he lived, trust the Lord had mercy upon him towards the end, I hardly think that he was blessed in this sense. But all believers are. And Mary was. Elizabeth was. The question this morning, my dear friend, for you is this. Are you blessed? Yes, Mary was blessed because she was going to have this wonderful child, the Saviour of the world, the Messiah, the Christ, by which all the nations of the world were going to be blessed if they turned, repented and believed in him. But she was especially blessed as a believer in God and in his salvation, in his Christ. Are you blessed? Does this description fit you? Blessed and happy in the most exalted sense of the word. And then also she says here about who she was blessed among, that she was blessed among women. And that means that she was blessed among all women on earth, among all women on earth, or perhaps all women that ever been, ever is going to be, she was or had become and continued to be the most blessed one, or the most blessed woman. Blessed are thou among women, that phrase is the Aramaic and Hebrew manner of expressing the superlative, according to one of the commentators. So you and I have got to be careful in our legitimate opposition to Mary worship, to Mariolatry. We should guard against falling into the opposite extreme. We should never deify Mary or put her on a pedestal that she should not be on. But on the other hand, we should never denigrate Mary to something less than what she was. She was special. She was a believer. And God chose her to bear his son into this world according to his human nature. She was a blessed woman. Blessed was she among women, just like King David's mother. She was very blessed because she brought such a great king, such a great man into this world. How much more was Mary blessed because she brought God's king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, into this world? Well, you and I won't be blessed for that reason. But are we blessed as believers? Blessed among men and among women and amongst boys and girls simply because we are Christ's. We are God's. He owns us. We have been born again. We are his children. So Elizabeth starts with Mary and then speaks about Mary's child, the fruit of Mary's womb. Mary was pregnant with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And she has the same kind of description here of the Saviour as Mary. But it's more special as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. Because she is mentioning here not only about what Christ was at that time and what he was going to continue to be in the future throughout all eternity, but remember, as far as our Lord Jesus Christ, blessedness is concerned, and that is an attribute of God, God's blessedness, he had always been blessed. Blessed from eternity past. Blessed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Blessed throughout all eternity. He was blessed too. It means that he was the object of God the Father's special delight. And as you go through his earthly life and ministry, you see how much that is true. Remember the words of the Father at his baptism? Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, lo, a voice from heaven saying, that was the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God there showing his delight in his Son. He showed it to also on the Mount of Transfiguration with similar words. And also we have other scriptures in the New Testament which show that the Lord Jesus Christ was blessed, that he was the object of God the Father's special delight, that he was the eternal Son of God, that he's the second person of the Holy Trinity or the Godhead, and he was blessed in that special way. Not only as Mary was blessed, but blessed as God himself, the attribute of God as the Son of God. So Mary was blessed, and her child was blessed as well. And you know, you may well be a parent here this morning. I know that a number of you are. And of course, your child is not going to be blessed in the same sense in which the Lord Jesus Christ was blessed. But do we not want our children, and also our grandchildren, if you're old enough, your great-grandchildren, and the children that are in that Sunday school this morning, and the children that are here this morning, to be blessed. To be blessed because they are believers in Jesus Christ. We need to pray for them. And we need to give them a good example. And we need to ask that the Lord might have mercy upon their souls. That they might be superlatively happy in this world. Not with the happiness of the world that's here one minute, gone the next, and is dependent and contingent on outward circumstances. But blessed because God has blessed their souls with his salvation through faith in this person who is in Mary's womb. Are your children blessed? Make sure they are, because if they're not blessed, they're under God's curse and condemnation. So Elizabeth speaks about Mary, about her child, and also speaks very humbly about herself. And she says to Mary about, of course, what had happened to her. And what had happened to her was this, that the mother, and not only notice here Elizabeth's humility, notice also Elizabeth's faith here. That she says that the mother of her Lord had come even to her. Now it was probably the case that these two had met each other before. They'd probably become acquainted at an earlier date than this. Probably also true that they've been in each other's company for a while in connection with one or more of the great religious festivals. We read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 44, when Christ once got lost, or he was lost to his parents, they went a day's journey. They sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When people went to when the Jews went to their feast days, they went with family, with friends. So probably previous festivals, Mary had also gone with Elizabeth. So they'd met before. But what is Elizabeth saying here? What she's saying is this, at this particular point of the story, she saw in Mary, through this visit, through her coming at this time, she saw in Mary more than a relative or acquaintance. Just coming to visit her, she calls her the mother of her Lord. Just like the psalmist David in Psalm 110 and verse 1 was inspired by the Spirit to call Christ his Lord in that verse, it would seem that Elizabeth here, because she'd been filled by the Holy Spirit, and because of the activity of the Holy Spirit within her, opening her eyes and opening her heart, she discovered this fact. That Mary was the mother of her Lord, and that in her was the Christ. Yet as a little fetus. My dear friends, what faith. What faith. What a wonderful work of the Holy Spirit there was in Elizabeth's heart and life at this time. And if Elizabeth so described Jesus when, according to his human nature, he was still a baby in Mary's womb, how much more should we not, should you not glorify the Christ who died for us and who lives evermore to intercede for us? Argue from the less to the greater. If she could believe then, how much more should we believe? How much more should you believe, my dear friend? Christ has now been born. He's come in the flesh. He's grown up. He's lived. He's taught. He's done miracles. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again the third day. He's ascended up on high. He's coming back. The Gospels teach us these things. The epistles tell us these things. Have you believed these things just as Elizabeth did? In other words, what I'm asking you is this. Elizabeth had the great privilege and honour of having Mary, the mother of her Lord, come to her. But clearly the Lord had also come to her. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord had come to her to show her these things. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ once said to the Apostle Peter, that the flesh and blood hadn't revealed the things that he had seen concerning Christ, that he was the Son of God, but the Father had revealed these things to him. Even so, God had revealed these things to Elizabeth, because God had come to her. God had shown her. God had opened her eyes. God had opened her heart and her soul to these things. And that is why she could believe this immense thing, that this tiny baby that she couldn't see, that was in Mary's womb, was the eternal Son of God, was her Lord. Has God come to you like that? It's miraculous. It's supernatural. It's not by our nature. This is God, my dear friends. He can come to us by his Spirit. The Lord can come to us. And he can regenerate us and quicken us, grant us that spiritual conception. And he can open our eyes to these things and open our hearts to them. Like Lydia's heart was open, Acts 16, to the truth of the gospel. God can open our hearts that we believe that in Mary's womb was the eternal Son of God, the creator of all the earth at the ends of the earth. What a wonderful thing faith is. Powerful, miraculous thing faith is, the gift of faith. And that's what God gives to all of his people, like precious faith. And she's very humble. She says, what is it to me? How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord has come to me? In other words, she was surprised with joy that the one whom she designated the mother of her Lord was honouring her with a visit in this way. And if God comes to you, you'll not only have faith, but also God will make you a humble soul, just like Elizabeth. And you'll sit there and you think, what is it to me? What's happened to me? That God has come to me. Not the mother of your Lord. No. But the Spirit of God himself. God himself has come to you and quickened you and given you faith to believe the gospel concerning Jesus Christ come and crucified for you upon the cross. Should be filled with wonder about that, that God has come to us and made us Christians. I think that's one of the things that really struck me when I became a Christian in 1986. As I sat there in kind of fear and trembling what God had done in forgiving my sins, the wonder was that God had come to that building. God had come to my heart and he'd saved my soul. It's something we ought never to get over in our Christian lives. Well, then fourthly, in verse 44, Elizabeth also speaks about Mary's baby, of course. About Elizabeth's baby, about John in her womb, and says about what happened to him. When Mary came, when Mary greeted her, We read that John in the womb is a little fetus, is a tiny little baby, that he leapt there. As soon as the voice of Mary's salutation sounded in Elizabeth's ears, after Mary had greeted her, and after Elizabeth had heard the greeting, this happened within her womb. That her little child leapt, you notice, for joy, leapt for joy. You know, very little children, babies, can do remarkable things in the womb, can't they? They can kick, as all mothers know. And I remember when a scan was done on Myra, when before Hannah was born, and we had the little picture back, I could hardly believe it. There's a scan, this kind of side view of Hannah there, and she was like this. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that. It's remarkable. What little babies can do them. We need to pray for little children, don't they? They might be protected from the womb and protected from the ghastly things that happen today to them. Abortion and things like that. But look at this. This is something supernatural. John was going to be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. There's nothing too hard for God. With God, all things are possible. He can do anything. He can even save in the womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and John was going to be even from his mother's womb. And when the Spirit came upon his mother, perhaps upon him as well, and that is why he leapt here for joy. And it means here that Elizabeth suddenly knew by the Spirit that the leaping of the baby within her womb was a sign of its joy, of his joy, this very joy being the evidence to her of Mary being the mother of her Lord and of her Lord's presence in Mary's womb. That's what it showed to her, his joy, and also who Mary was and who was within Mary. The babe, to Elizabeth, she sang with joy, she said his poem with great joy. And John was great joy within himself, even as a tiny little baby in Elizabeth's womb. It's wonderful to have such joy as that. I wonder, my dear friend, have you, in your own experience, perhaps not literally, but in your heart, leapt for joy? Have your children, have they ever, in their hearts, in their lives, been touched by God and leapt with joy? Because we know that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we joy in believing, don't we? We joy in the knowledge of our sins forgiven. We joy in the knowledge of having peace with God, the burden of our guilt removed, being right with God, and having this glorious future of heaven everlasting, the glory everlasting ahead of us, and all the privileges and blessings of the Christian life. When you and I become Christians, do we not, to some degree, within our hearts and our souls, we leap for joy? Has that happened to you? If not, perhaps you need to turn and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Has it happened to your children? Pray for them until they know this joy, not just happiness in perhaps having birthdays and receiving gifts and toys and the happiness and the pleasures of this world. Don't rest, Christian parent or Christian grandparent, until you see your children, your grandchildren, spiritually leaping for joy in the knowledge of their sins forgiven. Well, the final thing this morning is this. Elizabeth then comes back round to Mary. Again calls her blessed, same meaning as at the beginning of the message this morning. And the one who's blessed here, Elizabeth describes her as this one who believed. She that believed. So remember here, Mary's not only blessed because of the baby within her, she was blessed because she was a believer in God. And she that believed here was a reaction to the angel Gabriel's message. And it describes the complete surrender that characterizes the person who lives by the rule, trust, and obey. The angel came, the angel Gabriel, told Mary what's going to happen to her. What did Mary do? She didn't disbelieve like Zacharias and was struck deaf and probably dumb as well. Well, dumb, definitely dumb, perhaps deaf as well as a result of what happened. Mary believed. Not only when God's promise obtained initial fulfillment, when she had the baby, but even earlier. What did she believe? That what had never happened before, conception apart from any human father, would happen now, that the hope of all the ages would be realized in its initial stage within the womb of a lowly Jewish virgin, namely herself. How did she trust? By means of voluntary and complete surrender to his will. Oh, Elizabeth says to Mary, finishing off, "You're blessed, Mary, blessed. Blessed are you who have believed." And that's what you've got to do this morning. If you've not yet believed, to ask the Lord, "Have mercy upon my soul. Grant me this gift. It's not in me. I've not been born with this. I can't get this for myself. You need to give it to me." Ask him, sue the Lord, seek the Lord until he gives you this gift of faith, until your heart is warmed within you and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Has this happened to you? Are you blessed because you believed like this? You believed in God's word. You surrendered to it. You've submitted yourself to his word and to his gospel. And she tells him why she was blessed. Well, because there'd be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And those were the things, first of all in verse 31, the angel had told her that she was going to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That was going to be fulfilled. She was blessed because that was going to be fulfilled. Verse 32, Jesus is going to be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. Verse 33 also was going to be fulfilled. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And also verse 35, therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. All these things, all these promises were going to be performed and fulfilled to Mary, as the rest of the Gospels abundantly proved to us. So Mary was blessed because she believed. She believed the promises and their fulfillment, and because these things were going to be carried out in her own experience. She was going to see many of them fulfilled during her lifetime. And I want to assure you this morning, my dear friend, my dear brother and sister in Christ, you are blessed. And you are blessed because you believed in Christ, and because all of the things that God has promised to you, he's faithful. He will fulfill them. He will perform them. He will sanctify your soul. He'll deliver you from sin's power and pollution through your life. And he will glorify you together with Christ. By grace you're saved. You will go to heaven because God will perform and fulfill all of his precious promises to you. Do not doubt it, but trust in God for all of them. Rejoice that they will be fulfilled. You will be glorified. You will go to heaven. You will spend eternity with a Saviour because you're Christ's. Well, so we come to the end this morning. Just to close, we've looked at this poem or song of love of Elizabeth to Mary and those that she sang about. But what's the conclusion of the matter? It is this, which is something that you should notice from these verses and from this poem and from this song, a practical lesson. That because Elizabeth was deeply conscious of her own unworthiness, we've seen her humility in the song, and because she loved Mary, she did not begrudge or envy her much younger relative in her entire exclamation here, in spite of the fact that she was much older than her cousin Mary. Indeed, she genuinely rejoiced with her. Wasn't jealous, not a green eye of jealousy. She wasn't envious. She was happy. She was able to rejoice with her that was rejoicing, because they knew that God loved them and they loved one another. And as we have, so I read in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 to you a little earlier, love suffers long and is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't vaunt itself and is not puffed up. So when you think about this little passage today, as you should do, as you meditate upon it, read it and go over it, you just notice that it could have happened, couldn't it? Because Elizabeth was the older woman, in a sense she was going to have the lesser son, although John the Baptist was going to be very great indeed, she could have envied, but she didn't. She loved this younger woman and was able to rejoice with her. And you be sure this week, as you know God loves you, you love him, and you love one another, and make sure that you don't envy others, even other believers, and are jealous of them. And lift yourself up above them, seeking to be above them, more prominent than them. Be humble. Love one another. Don't envy one another. Don't be jealous. Be kind. And love one another even as God has loved us. You take away that practical lesson from that passage this morning. Amen.
Amen.